This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
People really don't know what their expenses will be because they don't know how long that they're going to live.
Obviously, the older you are, the more secure your income you are.
It's going to more safe things that they know. If they know they're going to need that money to supplement their retirement, well, then you can't play that risk.
Welcome to From Diapers to It Depends with Robert Goldsmith. Robert has been an expert in the financial services arena for over 30 years, and now he wants to teach you a few tricks of the trade. And now, From Diapers to It Depends with Robert Goldsmith.
Good morning, Tampa Bay. Good morning, USA, and all my friends on Facebook Live. It's good to be back here. It's Wednesday, August 14th, with episode number 5 of From Diapers to It Depends. Of course, I'm flying solo today. My wife is under the weather, so we're going to be excited, though. We've got a guest talking about gold and silver investments in the second segment. And more importantly, we want to be your financial coach. And I understand that, you know, everybody needs to work with their own personal advisor because that's what's going to help them become more proficient and certainly have hands-on experience with somebody that's working with them, you know, day to day. But at the end of the day, it's nice to have somebody with a second opinion, right? Because that's going to be important that you can get that information. So we are out here talking to you today about financial planning, about retirement planning, about annuities, insurance, pensions, you name it, we got it. But you know, one of the things that comes up all the time are questions about, especially in what we would consider today, the most tenuous or contentious election period probably in our lifetime for many people. And we hope it never gets any worse than this. But that being said, the thing that people have to realize is that I got a question that said, how does whoever is the president affect our financial position? And obviously that's from an individual who's not only younger, but has no experience in the financial market. So without trying to get too political this morning, I'm going to tell you that when an administration lays out their game plan, or in fact enacts their game plan for what they want to do during their 4 to 8 years, at the end of the day, you're going to find out that the markets will react to their game plan. Why? Well, let's take, for example, somebody that is wondering why we have inflation at the moment, right? Why do we have inflation? And I'm going to tell you, and I did this on a Facebook Live about 4 or 5 years ago, where we talked about how for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And what that means is that if you raise the price of gas, how does that affect inflation? Well, let's look at it from this standpoint. How do goods and services get to the marketplace? And the answer is by truck. How do the trucks get to the stores? And it's with gasoline. Gasoline is that that fuel that fires the economy. So if you raise the price on gas, truckers have to pay more to bring the goods to the services, and then they have to charge you more at the retail store for you to be able to pay for it, henceforth inflation, and by default, you also have an increase in sales tax, right? So no matter what goes up in price, our sales tax goes up. The government rakes in a little bit more money for that, so it would be in our best interest as consumers to participate in any way, shape, or fashion to reduce our cost of gasoline. The lower we consume gas, so for example, if you can consume less by, you know, carpooling or doing things of that nature, that would help. And let's talk a little bit about electric vehicles, though, because people are saying, well, should we all be going electric? Well, the problem with electric is that if you try to charge it, my daughter had an electric car for a number of years. And what was interesting is that she had to sit for 20, 25, 30 minutes to charge that vehicle. She's out on the road and didn't have a charger, right? So it's not as, I'm going to say, convenient, nor is it as quick. And there were times where there were literally no charges from Dallas to Denver. So you had to really drive a specific route just to get there. Who knows how much longer that would have taken you. So the most important thing to keep in mind is that with every time they raise the price on gas, so if we stop drilling and then buying from foreign countries, well, you get the picture. The more we pay, supply and demand, that all adds into the equation. So when that person who asked me on Facebook, how does the administration affect the price of gas? Well, it, I mean, the price of inflation. Well, that's exactly what happens, right? Because again, every action equal and opposite reaction. And as a financial professional, I can tell you that it also affects the stock market. So we saw a tremendous drop last week where approximately $993 billion or something like that, it may even be bigger, I don't have the numbers in front of me, was lost in the stock market. As a result of that one day. Now, it has slowly creeped back up. But here's my point, is that if you were retiring that day, let's suppose, for argument's sake, that somebody was moving their 401k to a retirement plan or setting up their 401k predicated on their value, their total value. So let me repeat that. So if you got $1 million in your 401k, and you said, how much is that going to give me in retirement income for the rest of my life? Because remember, when you have a 401k, that money is earmarked for retirement, right? It's not earmarked for, let me go buy a boat, let me go get a new car, let me take a lavish vacation. You can't say, I've got $1 million, that's my money, and I'm now going to go spend it, because two things are very important. Number one is, it's not all your money, it's yours and the government's. Number two, the value on that particular day would have changed. So imagine a person who had just transferred or rolled over his 401k from his employer to his broker or to an annuity or to his bank, wherever he took that money, and it was moving the next day, he could have lost a tremendous amount of value simply because it was scheduled to happen on that day. And typically when you move money, it doesn't just happen like in an instant. It actually happens where you sign the forms and the documents, and then it goes from carrier A to carrier B, the documents are cleared, and then it's set to go that particular day. So imagine an individual having been set to go about a week ago when all of a sudden the market dropped tremendously and he just saw his retirement altered dramatically. And you know, once those things happen, it's almost impossible to reverse them. So keep in mind that when these stock markets change, when things happen, they absolutely affect you. And so what's the one thing that you can do as a consumer to protect against it? Well, two very important things. Number one is you got to vote, and then vote for the people that have your best interest in heart. And then number two, you also have to recognize that there comes a point in your life where having your most important dollars, your retirement dollars, in the stock market may be the most risky thing for you to do. Now, I know there are people out there that say, oh, my broker's doing great. But the point is that your broker does great when the market's going up. If the market was headed in the wrong direction, I guarantee you, you're not going to be sitting there going, oh, my broker's doing a great job. Because sometimes luck's involved. Let's be honest. You know, whether you invested in a specific stock or an index, all of that can change in a flash. But there are products available to the consumer that when they are nearing retirement, that can still have the potential of the stock market, but without the risk. Now, they fluctuate daily, but they only report annually. So what that means is, if you started your plan on January 1st, and if you are gone on January 1st the next year, if the market went down, you're going to see a decline. If it happened the other way, where if it went up, you'll see the upswing in your account value a year later. You don't see it each and every day. Isn't it great to know that you can have the peace of mind to be in a position where you don't have to worry about risk, so that you can, I'm going to say, go out and enjoy the rest of your life? That's what some of these products can do. They are called fixed indexed annuities. We can do that for you. We can assist you with talking about how a fixed indexed annuity would potentially fit into your game plan. Now, again, this is Robert Goldsmith. We are on the TAN Talk Radio Network. If you have a question, you can call in at 727-441-3000. Again, 727-441-3000. And, Got it. We're going to be back in just a minute with a break. And then we have Nathan Akers is going to join us from National Gold Consultants, where we talk about how to add gold into your portfolio. Silver, you know, what's the price of that today? People want to know more about that. So we'll be back in just a bit, and we'll see you on the flip side.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional. Everyone knows there are few places to accumulate funds for your retirement. At-risk options, exposing your life savings to the volatility of a casino and often filled with hidden fees and expenses. Or in a bank, principal protected, but with the returns lower than your grandpa used to earn. Now there's a third option, the peace of mind alternative. Accounts that protect your principal like a bank, but with earnings tied to an index tracking the market. The best of both worlds. Here's how it works. When the market rises, your account values are credited with all or a portion of the index gain. Gains that can be locked in as your new protected principal. But when the index drops, your account stays exactly the same. No fees, no losses. And these plans can generate an income stream for the rest of your life, even if you ran out of money. It's a great option for old 401ks and IRAs. Call me now, Robert Goldsmith. 844-435-SAFE. 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
Plans backed by A-rated insurance carriers and are not a direct investment in the market. Withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half or greater than 10% annually may incur a penalty. Ask for details. Not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, host of the unscripted talk radio program From Diapers to It Depends, where almost anything goes. Every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., I'll be bringing you tips and tricks on how to get the most from your hard-earned money. With money comes questions, and I've got the answers. Do you realize that almost everything you do can impact your financial lifestyle? From how you pay for your dinner to how you finance your home, everything is important. Tune in each and every Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m., and let's make your money work hard for you on the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional, and I have a question for you. When was the last time you reviewed your life insurance policy? Whether you purchased your plan more than 3 years ago or recently from an unprepared agent, chances are your plan may be obsolete. The fact is, most of the plans offered lack all of the features and benefits that you're entitled to. While most policies only pay someone else when you die, our new plans actually pay to keep you alive. Plans that may offer you access to cash for medical needs or may even help supplement your retirement. Now here's another question. If what I just said is true, then which one of those two plans would you prefer? The old one that only pays someone else when you die, or the new one that pays for you to live, particularly if the costs are about the same? Find out more by contacting me at 1-844-435-SAFE, S-A-F-E, or 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
This is a life insurance benefit that offers you the option to accelerate some or all of your death benefit in the event you meet the criteria for a qualifying event described in the policy. Not available in all states.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Back on WTAN 1340 in Tampa Bay and simulcast on Facebook Live. This is Robert Goldsmith, your host of From Diapers to It Depends. And we are joined today by Mr. Nathan Akers. Nathan is the CEO and founder of National Gold Consultants. And he and I have worked together on helping people get gold and silver into their portfolio. And with the stock market in disarray and with the challenges, gold has always been a great investment. People should be looking at silver as well. And Nathan, how are you today?
I am doing very well this morning, Robert. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Hey, thank you for joining us. Hey, it's great to have you. And, you know, a couple of questions I want to ask is that, you know, as the stock market is going up and down and always been very volatile, a lot of economists have suggested that gold and silver is that hedge against inflation and protection for your portfolio. Can you give me some details on why that makes sense to the average person?
Yeah, absolutely. The main reason is that gold and silver and the stock market tend to move in opposite directions of one another. When the bottom falls out of the stock market, that's when gold and silver rises. So you get this great way to balance out your portfolio. In addition, gold and silver also have the amazing qualities of keeping up with inflation over time, protecting that purchasing power. It's something we've seen over the last 2,000-3,000 years from physical gold and silver. It's been true then. It's true today as well.
So basically what you're saying is that by having that gold and silver within my portfolio, if I'm seeing a drop in my 401k, the odds are pretty good that I'm seeing an increase in the price of gold and silver. So my value is kind of like a wash, if that makes sense.
Correct. Yep. If you think about it as a seesaw, on the one side, you've got your equities, your stock market investments. If they're going down, your gold and silver is going up. So your overall wealth level is staying the same.
Got it. So obviously, let me just lower that on the mic. So that's obviously a great thing that people should be considering. But let's talk about this. There's intrinsic value, right? And there's numismatic value, right, with gold and silver. So that you got the coin value, and then I guess it's basically what the value says in the stock market. How does that differ? What's significant about that?
Yeah, so when you look at the coin value versus the numbers that are reported, if you look at, what's the price of gold or what's the price of silver, it's going to tell you that, silver is worth $28 an ounce, gold is worth almost $2,500 an ounce. The thing to keep in mind with that is that's the value of gold or silver that's in the ground right now. Obviously, it takes money to get that, that gold and silver out of the ground. And then the physical form is always going to cost more than what they tell you, on the news for gold and silver. In addition, there's the supply and demand aspect of things. If you have an older coin and there aren't as many of them, it's going to be worth more than a newer coin because they're not making them anymore.
So that harkens back to the supply and demand issue. If there's less supply of that particular coin, it's worth more. So that would be the numismatic value, is that right?
Correct. Yep. It's a very fancy way of saying, a rare or collectible coin.
Got it. So that with the collectible coins that exist today, what's the kind of coins that people should be buying? Because I know that there were coins with stamps of panda bears on them in different countries that I guess they were representing. Is there a significance to that? Because I have some silver at home myself, and they're coins that have a unique value. I guess they're graded as well. And there's something different about each of them. How does that work? Is that more collector issue, or is that, really the price of silver, figured into that?
Yeah, that's more of a collectible issue. So when you look at coins, they can really be broken into three main categories. The first is going to be, what are called rounds. Those are coins that are minted by a private mint. Anybody could actually produce them. And their value is going to be tied directly to what the underlying price of silver or gold is. The next would be your collectible coins. These are going to be coins that have been graded, slabbed and graded. They're going to be encapsulated in a hard plastic case. And the vast majority of their value is actually going to be driven by collector sentiment. And then the third category would be coins minted by a sovereign government. Think the United States or Canada. And within that category, there, it can be further split into newly minted coins or coins that were minted before 1933 in the United States. And those are the coins that we like to use because they're considered a private asset class. There's no reporting required on them whatsoever when you buy or when you sell. And the limited supply of them means that there's a greater upside when we see these big inflows into gold and silver.
Interesting. So you just said that if I have a coin that's from 1933 or sooner or younger or older, I should say, then those coins have a greater value. And that would imply to me that the government coins seem to be the ones that we should be looking at, like the coins that we're talking about from China, private minted, are more like baseball cards, right? Where people bought a Mickey Mantle card from 1957 and that's worth some money because of the collectors. And that's a collector issue where that could go up and down as well, I would imagine. But at the same token, these coins here, is it because of the grade of silver or because the coins are older? Is it a combination of both? Because I would imagine that some of the silver that they're putting in coins today aren't 100%, or are they not? Which is it?
So for those older coins, what it is that really drives the value is going to be the rarity of it. You know, the fact that they're not making any more of them and that they are that private asset class. The newer coins will have a little bit more gold or silver in them just because they were never designed to be put into general circulation like the old coins were.
Ah, so they're designed specifically for collectors rather than for someone who's using it as an investment grade type of material. So I guess that's different. So, you know, one of the things I heard years ago was that silver is actually more rare than gold because silver is used in computers and electronics. You don't find gold using that, although I guess I've seen some people use it in their teeth. But I'm just wondering, where is gold and silver on a scale of its rarity? Is silver more rare than gold? Is that true?
You know, it is a little bit more true. The thing about silver is it's harder for us to mine than gold. The vast majority of silver that's mined out of the ground is actually a byproduct of mining for other metals, like copper, zinc, even gold. So, and the additional thing about silver is, unlike gold, you alluded to this, silver has so many industrial uses, especially in the new green agenda that's out there. Silver is the best conductor of electricity that they've found for solar panels. Electric vehicles take twice as much silver to make as a traditional combustion automobile, not to mention all the silver that goes into the charging stations. And then even just the consumer electronics that we all carry around with us these days.
Wow. It's very intriguing because I think most people are ignorant to the fact that silver is used in so many different components that they're holding in their hand. And, you know, it just is what it is, I guess. People, you know, I've always been a proponent of the fact that so many people go about their day not paying attention to what they could be doing financially to make differences in their lives, and they don't want to hear it. Like, I also do stand-up comedy, right? So if I'm on the weekends and I'm doing stand-up comedy, you'll get 300 mm-hmm. people in the audience. But if I'm doing a workshop on how to make more money and invest more money and protect their portfolio, we'll get 20 people in the audience, which just shares with you the mistaken priorities. So if somebody wanted to get gold and silver, what's the minimum amount that it would take for somebody to start adding gold and or silver into their portfolio to really get started as an investor?
Yeah, the minimum is going to be $5,000. So whether you're putting $5,000 or $5 million in, it's a great way to get started with precious metals. Ultimately, to have it act as that balance to everything else in your portfolio, you need to get closer to that 10 to 15% allocation.
So 10 to 15% of my total portfolio. So you're saying that if I have $100,000 in my 401k, I should probably have at least $15,000 in gold and silver. And would you recommend it being gold and or silver, both? Or how would you go in that direction if it was you?
You know, I'd like to have a little bit of both in there, Robert. Yeah, to me, the way that I explain the metals is I think of the old story of the tortoise and the hare. If you think of that story, gold is kind of like the tortoise. It tends to be the slow and steady grower. Silver is a little bit more like the hare, a little bit more volatile. It kind of bounces around. The main difference between that story and reality is we don't know when the finish line is for someone. So it's why it makes sense to have both metals in there.
I like what you just said, the finish line, because nobody really knows their, you know, it's funny because, you know, I work in the insurance industry as well. And mm-hmm. I've had some people that said, I'd ask them why they didn't want to buy life insurance. And they said they simply didn't believe in it. And I know that's untrue. Mm-hmm. So I would ask them questions to say, do you believe, you know, in the fact that it won't pay, or do you just not want to pay for it? You know, what's the thing? And it really was all about boiling down to whether I want to pay for it or not. And with this, they don't know their day to death. So I would say to them, look, if you don't want to spend money on life insurance, just give me the day to death. I'll come here a couple days before. We'll get that thing enrolled and take the check and go from there. and they don't know it. So nobody really knows their finish line. But I like the way you described it, because we don't know our finish line. And the irony is that we might want to keep that gold and silver even through our senior years. Maybe it becomes a legacy, because you said something early in the program that I think was relevant. And that is that it's not monitored, right? There's no real government intervention. Correct. In this. So if I buy these 1933 coins and they went up in value, I could sell them through National Gold Consultants and get, or I can sell them for me, and we can actually do the transaction for them. But the most important thing is that there's no tax reporting whatsoever on this. Is that right?
Yeah, there's no 1099s that are issued on this whatsoever, Robert.
So that makes it a more intriguing investment for those people that out there going, hey, I don't want to pay taxes. Okay, then let's get you into gold and silver, because historically, like the stock market, gold and silver do increase in value. So if we said, hey, gold was to double, I know there's talks about gold doubling with inflation, and there's also talks about silver being on the rise. If that was to happen and people got into it, and say silver doubles to $50 a share, an ounce, and they wanted to sell that, they could have put in $5,000 cash in, get their $10, and not pay a dime to Uncle Sam.
Mm-hmm. That is correct, Robert.
I'm in love with that. And I think people need to learn more about gold and silver as a part of their portfolio. Because one of the things people don't realize when they invest in a 401k or an IRA, that they're not just investing for themselves, they're investing for the government, because that increase in value is what they're going to pay tax on when the money comes out. With the gold and silver, they don't have to worry about that. So if they're interested in gold and silver, I'm going to tell you, give me a call at 844-735. No, I'm going to get my number right. 844-435-7233. That's 844-435-7233. We just added a new toll-free number, and I don't even know it yet. So the last two numbers. Here's a crazy thing, though, and you're going to love this. The last four numbers, if you did them on the keyboard, are SAFE or safe. So we're going to look at gold and silver as the safer investment, and for people to take a look at that and keep that as part of their storyline. Silver today, I just checked it, is at 2773 an ounce, so it's very affordable, right? So that means people will get a lot of silver if they invested into that today at $5,000.
Very much so.
Yeah, so that's not a bad deal. Nathan, is there anything else you want to add that people should know about gold and silver that we didn't cover?
Yeah, I would say the thing to keep in mind about gold and silver is one of those investments that you buy it and you kind of forget about it. You know, it's like buying a generator for your house. You buy it for when the storm hits. And when you have that generator, you don't go out into your garage every year and think, oh man, I haven't used this yet, I should get rid of it. You hang on to it, and when the storm hits, you're going to be thrilled that you have it.
Yeah, I think you do. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you ever have a day where you put on a jacket or in your coat pocket and there's a $20 bill in your jacket you forgot was there or didn't even realize it was there, right? It's that, that you feel like you just, I just hit the lottery. Well, you can do that with gold and silver if you just kind of, to borrow a line from an infomercial, set it and forget it, right? You kind of got it, you put it away, and you let it roll.
Yep.
So that sounds very cool. Well, Nathan, listen, I want to thank you for, you know, joining us today. It's been a pleasure. I'm educated every day on the financial markets, and it's crazy because I've been doing this for now closer to 40 years, and I can tell you that you learn something new every day. And here's the one crazy thing. Everything changes daily. People don't recognize that. And in this case, it's understanding how gold and silver works. So if somebody's interested in learning more about gold and silver, reach out to us. But more importantly, if you'd like to make an investment and you only need $5,000, we're not talking about a lot of money here. Almost anybody can get started in it. So rather than, I tell this, I have a good friend that smokes a little too much. I tell him, look, if you stop smoking, you can buy a bigger car and put some money away. So let's talk about getting him into the gold and silver markets. Nathan, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll be in touch, and I appreciate you being with us. We'll be back in just a bit with From Diapers to It Depends. Thank you so much, Nathan. See you on the flip side.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional. Everyone knows there are few places to accumulate funds for your retirement. At-risk options, exposing your life savings to the volatility of a casino and often filled with hidden fees and expenses. Or in a bank, principal protected, but with the returns lower than your grandpa used to earn. Now there's a third option, the peace of mind alternative. Accounts that protect your principal like a bank, but with earnings tied to an index tracking the market. The best of both worlds. Here's how it works. When the market rises, your account values are credited with all or a portion of the index gain. Gains that can be locked in as your new protected principal. But when the index drops, your account stays exactly the same. No fees, no losses. And these plans can generate an income stream for the rest of your life, even if you ran out of money. It's a great option for old 401ks and IRAs. Call me now, Robert Goldsmith. 844-435-SAFE. 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
Plans backed by A-rated insurance carriers and are not a direct investment in the market. Withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half or greater than 10% annually may incur a penalty. Ask for details. Not available in all states.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, host of the unscripted talk radio program From Diapers to It Depends, where almost anything goes. Every Wednesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m., I'll be bringing you tips and tricks on how to get the most from your hard-earned money. With money comes questions, and I've got the answers. Do you realize that almost everything you do can impact your financial lifestyle? From how you pay for your dinner to how you finance your home, everything is important. Tune in each and every Wednesday from 9 to 10 a.m., and let's make your money work hard for you on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Robert Goldsmith, 30-year financial professional, and I have a question for you. When was the last time you reviewed your life insurance policy? Whether you purchased your plan more than 3 years ago or recently from an unprepared agent, chances are your plan may be obsolete. The fact is, most of the plans offered lack all of the features and benefits that you're entitled to. While most policies only pay someone else when you die, our new plans actually pay to keep you alive. Plans that may offer you access to cash for medical needs or may even help supplement your retirement. Now here's another question. If what I just said is true, then which one of those two plans would you prefer? The old one that only pays someone else when you die, or the new one that pays for you to live, particularly if the costs are about the same? Find out more by contacting me at 1-844-435-SAFE, S-A-F-E, or 844-435-7233. Or visit us on the web at financial411.net.
This is a life insurance benefit that offers you the option to accelerate some or all of your death benefit in the event you meet the criteria for a qualifying event described in the policy. Not available in all states.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With our third segment here, From Diapers to It Depends, and it's your Money Coach radio program. And you know, this is the segment where we like to take questions, and Deanna isn't here today to kind of ask them personally, but we do have them coming in. Oh, I got some that came in through Facebook, so let me ask you a question. I got a young lady by the name of Sharon in Dallas, Texas, who said, is it true that you can use life insurance as a plan for your kids' college? Because she didn't think that seemed accurate. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Let me, you know, share with you. If I was talking to you about why you should own life insurance, the first thing someone would say is, do I need it? Right? And the answer is always predicated on, do you have a family? Would somebody be hurt financially if something were to happen to you? Because we all know life insurance is designed as death protection, right? Not really life insurance. You get that from the mob. Life insurance where you actually are said, do I want to stay alive? Again, that's the mob. If I'm going to die, who's taking care of my family? And that's where life insurance comes in, because you pay a small premium in exchange for a large sum of money if something happens. But a lot of people are going to go, wait a minute, you mean if I die and I'm paying you this money, you'll pay my family to make somebody else rich? You know, it doesn't seem very attractive. But the most important thing to consider is the attributes of life insurance. And so the first answer to the question is, if I'm the primary breadwinner, and I've got kids that are youthful, that are going to be heading to college, and I was to pass away, presumably I would be contributing or at least helping out with college education expenses. Now, I'm a big fan of JUCOs, right? Going to junior college first, get the first 2 years in, and spend a lot less, because when you graduate from Yale or Harvard or USC, it does not say that I only went 2 years on that degree. So death protection first is the number one reason. But number two, with the right life insurance plan, you could actually create a savings account that would grow, just like the annuities we talked about earlier, on market rates. So they grow at market rates, monitored year to year, right, with no risk to your principal. And that money inside that insurance policy does not count against the eligibility of that child for grants and loans. So let me share with you in a little more depth. If your child's getting ready for college, there's a thing called a FAFSA form, right? Financial Aid Student Application, right? And that form determines how much grant money or how much loan money a child is eligible for to pay for college. Well, if you have money in stock market, in mutual funds, investments, in real estate like rental properties, if you have money that's invested in a bank account, all of that is actually going to count against eligibility for their grants and loans, right? So that means that their government's going to say, these funds that you have set aside, you have to pay for them first. That's true with 529 college plans. It's true with the Coverdell plans. So plans that you have specifically in the child's name could count against them for eligibility for grants alone. But the money that you have in life insurance is actually the money that doesn't count against them. And here's another important attribute. You can take that money out, and then if you want to, you can put it back in. If you don't want to, you don't have to put it back in. Now, there are some restrictions, and obviously working with an intelligent financial advisor will help you through that when it comes time to taking the money out. But it's also important to recognize that putting that money in doesn't make it the child's money. So if you put money in a 529 in the kid's name, that money is essentially theirs. And if they can't go to school, then you have to give it to another sibling or another child so they can go to school. Now, they've made some changes along the way, but there are some restrictions that are government bound. With the life insurance, you don't have any of those restrictions. Isn't it nice to have plans that don't have government restrictions? You know, as Nathan was just talking about gold and silver, he mentioned that you can actually invest into the silver and the gold and not have any taxes due when you cash it in. Well, isn't it nice to have an investment vehicle, or in this case, an accumulation plan through a life insurance policy, a side fund, I like to call it, attached to insurance, that can actually grow predicated on market growth without any risk to your principal, and most importantly, that can come out income tax free. And it can be used in multiple ways. So the child doesn't just have to use it for college. They could use it down the road, theoretically, to buy a car, buy a house, put the money in, take the money back out. A lot of things that you can do that people are missing out on. So if you have the misinterpretation that life insurance is only for death, you're actually missing out on that one as well. So that's one of the questions on life insurance. If you have another question on that in detail and you'd like to reach out to us, please feel free to call me directly at 844-435-7233. Again, that's 435-7233. Okay, the next question was that they were concerned about the fees that are involved with annuities. You know, do they have high fees? And obviously they were told by a broker. Now, the interesting thing about that is brokers are the ones that are really notorious for fees. In other words, they'll take money from your principal in order for them to get paid. So the difference is they're taking the money right out of your principal. With an annuity, and there are annuities that have fees, don't get me wrong. So there are annuities that have fees, and there are annuities that don't have fees. What's the difference? The difference is that the annuities that have fees are usually annuities that have expenses tied to them, or they have something else as part of the game plan. What does that mean? So there's a thing called an income rider. What if I told you that you can get an annuity for $100,000 today? Like you took money out of a 401k, put in 100 grand, and in 10 years, it's guaranteed to be double its value. Guaranteed. Let me repeat that. Guaranteed to be double its value. And then you can take an income from it for the rest of your life. So why is that important? Because when you have 401ks and IRAs, again, as I said early in the program, these accounts are not designed to buy a boat. That doesn't mean you can't go buy a boat with it. But what's important is that it's designed to replace your working income so that you have something you can live on, because we don't live at lump sum, right? Lump sum one at a time. We live month to month, right? You get a monthly mortgage payment, a monthly insurance payment, your HOA payment, your auto insurance payment, your car payment, your gas, your electric, you name it, you pay it on a monthly basis. So because we run in that kind of a world, we have to have income coming to us in that same kind of a world, because we're too easily going to mismanage a lump sum of money, and then it's got to be doing something for us while it's there. So why not have that money set aside in an account that can grow and then pay you an income? And here's the best and most important component, is that it'll pay you for the rest of your life, even if your money's gone. Let me repeat that. If you get the right annuity and you set it up properly, it can pay you for the rest of your life, even if your money was gone. So imagine you're living on other people's money. That's exactly what you can do with this. You know, when you get a pension plan from your employer, you usually got a plan that's going to pay you for the rest of your life, and there's options. Don't even get me started on pensions, because that's another whole hour. But the most important thing to recognize is once you set it up, it's cast in stone. We can take an annuity and we can probably set up an annuity that can give you an increasing income for the rest of your life. So not only will you never run out of money, but your income can increase year after year to try to keep up with inflation. So if there are fees involved in your annuity, there's definitely attributes that you may not be aware of, and we can talk to you about more depth about them, so that we can decipher that for you, figure out which one's right for you, and know that annuities are designed based on the insurance company and the indexes that are involved. And so some are going to perform 1 year, maybe perform badly the next year. If they perform badly, here's the worst part. You don't lose anything. You just start over again. Imagine going to Vegas and you put money down and you lost. And they said, keep your money. We'll start again next hand. That would be great, right? Well, that's exactly what you can do with some of these annuities. So that's an important component that you may not be aware of. So fees are involved usually for more aggressive returns. That's a little bit more potential, if you will. And then there are fees involved for some of these, what I would call lifetime income plans. But some of them actually come for free. So get with your advisor. I know a good one that can probably assist you with determining which one of those is right for you. So learn about the fees. They're really not that bad. Another question from Chris in California. I bought a plan a long time ago. I heard you talk. You can never... Hold on. I got to read this. Give me a sec, guys. My producer's my producer wife is not here today. I heard you talk about it. You can never... Let me start again. Chris in California. I bought a plan a long time ago. I heard you talk about you can use the newer life insurance plan for living benefits and not only for death. Aren't all term plans the same? Well, those are two questions in one. So let me see if I can start with one. I'm going to go to the bottom one first. Are all term plans the same? Now, what is term insurance? Term life insurance is essentially a exchange of your premiums each month for a death benefit with no cash value. So that means it's like auto insurance. If you have an accident, it pays you. It doesn't give you back any money. With life insurance, it pays your heirs. It doesn't give you back any money if it's term life. But all term plans are not the same. And what I mean by that is term plans can come with benefits that don't cost anything. That includes the ability to use that death benefits or a portion thereof as a part of your medical cost. If, God forbid, you were in a nursing home, had a home health care need, or you had a heart attack, stroke, cancer, organ transplant. And I'll tell you a couple stories. We had a gentleman who purchased a plan for us in Virginia, and he ended up having a heart attack while playing basketball at the age of 55. He had a $250,000 policy. The insurance company was willing to give him somewhere in the neighborhood of $140,000 to walk away from his insurance entirely, or he could have taken a smaller sum and then went ahead and kept some insurance and used the rest for what he needed to pay his bills or what have you. Well, here's the interesting thing. His health care insurance paid almost all of his expenses because he worked for a major corporation, and he didn't have to really pay out much money for his heart attack. But here's what happened. They gave him a clean bill of health. Obviously, he had some stints put in, and he had some adjustments made in his lifestyle and his eating, things of that nature. They say he's going to live a normal life. So he took his benefit, paid off some of his debt, invested the rest. And in 10 to 12 years, he'll actually have more money than what his death benefit would have been. So not only is he got bills going against him that were wiped out, those are gone, better cash flow now. He's no longer paying his life insurance premium because he can't get it, but he took the cash. He's gambling on the fact that he's going to live 10, 15, 20 years, and now his money will more than double, and he'll be in a position where he can actually have debt-free and cash in the bank, and that's going to be available for his family or for himself. He doesn't have to die to collect. You know, the great thing about life insurance is the ability to be flexible and to make choices when you have the right plan. Crazy thing is a lot of plans out there don't have that benefit. So if you've got a life insurance plan, even a term where you're just paying a single premium for 15 to 20 years, and you're sitting there going, is it a good plan? The answer may not be right. Not all term plans are created alike. So just like when we talked about with Sharon with the ability to use life insurance as a savings plan, it can't be a term plan to have that savings attached to it. It has to be a permanent plan. Typically, the best one, in my opinion, would be an index universal life from the right company. Some folks tend to use whole life. I can tell you the disadvantages with whole life, maybe on another show, because that would take me an hour to do that. But it definitely has some attributes that are available to you. Now, I'm going to tell you one other thing that people may not be aware of in the life insurance, which is a unique proposition for you. Let's suppose you bought a term plan 20, 25 years ago, and now you're not going to die tomorrow, but you've got some health issues. And the presumption is that I've got a life expectancy of 12 to maybe 15 years. But I've got this term plan that's now worth $500,000. But here's what's going to happen. That term plan is going to increase in premium as my term runs out. So what can I do? Do I just walk away from all the premiums I paid? Or can I use it as an asset and sell that insurance policy to an investment company that will give me cash? So what we're doing is I'm selling them my life insurance policy for a lump sum of cash. They're going to convert that to a permanent plan that I couldn't afford the premium on. And they're going to pay it. So when I pass away, their investment company will have made some money. And that sounds like, well, why are they making money on my death and not my family? Because I couldn't afford the premiums. I wasn't in a position. It was maybe cost ineffective. Maybe my kids are grown and they're all financially secure. I don't need to use their life insurance policy to take care of them any longer. Maybe just doing that plan and selling that gives me the ability to live a better life. So here's an interesting story. I had a gentleman who was 74. He had four kids. And when his wife passed away, he took the death benefit and he paid off his house, which sounds like a good deal. But here's the problem. He's got a house that's free and clear, and he has little to no cash. So I asked him this question. I said, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? He goes, I want to spend it with my kids. I said, where do your kids live? Now, the crazy thing is his kids lived throughout the country. He was living in the Dallas, Texas area. And he said that he just doesn't know what to do, but he wants to make sure that his kids have the house. And I said, well, which one of your kids do you love the most, knowing that he has four kids? And he goes, well, I love them all the same, because that's the right answer, correct? So I said, which one of your kids is going to get the house? Which one are you planning on doing? And he goes, well, I don't know. I guess they'll just take it and sell it. So he didn't really have an answer for what he was going to do, because the four kids aren't going to live together. They're all married. They got their own families. They're not moving into a little home in, you know, in Texas. So I said, well, why don't we do this? What would you do if you had another $1,500 a month? And he goes, what do you mean? I said, what would you do if you had another $1,500 a month? He goes, well, I'd probably go see my kids. I said, your life would be better, wouldn't it? He goes, absolutely. So I said, why don't we do what's called a reverse second trust deed, or a HECM, right? It's the opportunity for him to take money out of his house when he needs it that he never has to pay back. Now, he still has to pay his taxes, insurance, HOA fees. But he now has a line of credit that he can use as he wants, never has to pay it back. So now he's using his line of credit, he's visiting his kids, he's traveling, doing the things he wants to do, and he's now got the ability to go out and see them and do so many different things. That's part of the process of having a good financial advisor, someone that can find a way to use your assets to make smart moves for themselves. Now, here's the other part of it. He had his life insurance policy, and he goes, well, what do I do with this? I said, do you want to leave them the life insurance instead of the house? It could be all income tax free. And he goes, yeah, maybe I'd want to do that. So we were actually converting his plan, got him a permanent plan. He can pay the premiums. He pays the premiums. It's a smaller amount, but it covers him with some of the money he takes from his home. His home is paying him back. No one's going to live in that home that he cares about when it's done. His kids are all okay. It gives them greater assets, greater flexibility. That's life coaching. That's what I call financial life coaching. And that's literally what we do for people, is we actually work with them to understand the value that it can present. And the crazy thing is, his life insurance, if he's got living benefits now attached to him, good news, right? Now he's got protection if he ever enters a nursing home. So life insurance is a real commodity that people don't place value on. And again, tell you a quick story. I was on an airplane recently, and sometimes you sit on an airplane, if it's the afternoon, the people on the plane are talking to you. If it's early in the morning, like I flew in Monday on a 5 a.m. flight, nobody was talking. Everybody was sleeping, right? But if you fly in on a 3 o'clock flight, people that are sitting next to each other, perfect strangers, are now having conversations. Throughout the last, 4 to 5 years, flying around doing stand-up comedy, if I tell a person that I'm a financial advisor, you get one or two questions about the stock market or what's a good investment. Really no clue about anything else. They don't even ask, or they have their own financial advisor, or they rarely have a lengthy conversation. If I tell people that I do stand-up comedy, people will talk to me for the full trip. It's like my ear doesn't stop, right? I don't get any additional rest, because they want to know where you've performed, what you've done, what comics have you worked with, and I've been lucky to work with a comedian, magician, I won't call his name, Eric Eaton, but long story short, we've been able to do shows together across the country, and it's been a pleasure, and we get to perform for sold out shows, and that's always been great. So we've been to the Funny Bones, we've been to the Improvs, we've been to so many great locations, and great audiences. But again, financial advice, people don't want to hear about it. People go amongst their day doing things that are unimportant and leaving the important things behind. Like, they know what Kim Kardashian's having for dinner, or what Kanye West, who he's dating today, or, who George Clooney is endorsing. I mean, they don't focus on the important things because it sounds less attractive. It's not as much fun. So I wanted to just point out today that do the things that you need to do so that you can avoid paying for it later, because eventually everything you do while you're young affects your seniors. One of the things we talked about with Nathan today was avoiding the IRS, right? And he talked about that. Life insurance can help avoid the IRS. In fact, if you get a death benefit, in most states, it's tax-free and creditor-free from your loved one. So that's a great legacy, much better than a house sometimes, because of the house, you got to sell it. There are going to be fees. It can go through probate. A lot of reasons that life insurance can be a very valuable commodity. Now, remember, it's a commodity that not only can you leave to your heirs, but you can also use for yourself. So keep that in mind. Call me toll free at 844-435-7233. Again, that's 844-435-7233. And let's talk about where you are with your life insurance, your investment portfolio, whether or not you need gold and silver, whether an annuity is right for you. Have you established a living trust? How is your pension going to be distributed if you have one? Is your 401k working for you? So much we can do. Listen, it's been great with you. Thank you, Nathan, for joining us. Thank you for watching us today. We'll see you on the flip side. And join us on From Diapers to It Depends next week. Now keep your ears open for Paul Molloy showing up next. Have a great rest of your day. I'm over and out.